Hi, this is the great Matt Baldoni, and I'm here today to tell you why you should never listen to the Clary Podcast. Ever. Want to know why? Well, I'll tell you. Because it fucking sucks!
Biggest asshole actor the whole world's ever seen.
Welcome to the Clary Podcast, a division of Aaron Clary LLC. Brought to you by AssholeConsulting.com. Aaron Clary, Chairman and CEO. And now, your host, Captain Capitalism himself, the world's only professional asshole, Aaron Clary.
Oh, geez, ISIS attacking. Oh, God, gee, we better. What do you think's going to be in the news, guys? We're not talking about the terrorist attack because there's just nothing new or interesting. It's just going to be which flag are people going to put on their Facebook image this attack around. Maybe it can be like, you know, got to catch them all, be like Pokemon, but you got to bomb them all. So then, you know, maybe we could go through all the flag colors in all of Europe. ISIS just keeps hitting different terrorists, whoever. And then all you people in Western civilization will do your hashtag activism, and nothing will change. And that's what I want to point out. That's the only thing I'm going to point out about this is nothing is going to change until Western civilization decides to quit being pussies and say, we don't care how many times you call us racist or Islamophobic, we're kicking you out. You're kicked out. And until our politicians actually become leaders and not the cowards that they are. I was going to talk about today. Here, let me pull it up. Here we go. Star Tribune. Plastic bag ban wins approval of Minneapolis City Council Committee. Minneapolis City Council will vote on plan that will also charge for paper bags. A proposal to ban Minneapolis stores from handing out plastic bags and require them to charge customer for paper bags has cleared an important hurdle. Let's see. I don't have to go through it. You know, this is just... But what it shows you is that these politicians really don't have the spine or the balls to actually be leaders. What they're doing is they're banning plastic bags. That's what these modern-day baby boomer Gen X leaders, our modern-day political science majors, lazy bums come politicians, that's what they want to do. They want to make choo-choo trains. They want to ban plastic bags. This is what they want to do. They don't want to take on the hard leadership. They don't want to actually protect the citizens. They don't actually want to protect culture or make people safe. Now they're going to ban plastic bags. And they're not going to take, they're just, guys, nothing's going to change. That's why I'm not worried. The news, the only thing that could be said about this terrorist attack is what I'm saying. And that is our response will be nothing. And this is going to continue to go on until enough people die. Maybe. I think the Muslims could get away with 30 here or there. I think the terrorists could you know, take a little bit of a nip. The old European economy, country over there, population. No one's really, and then slowly outbreed. I mean, nothing's good. Because frankly, a disproportionate number of women voted for socialism, diversity, multiculturalism, and all this leftist bullshit that was sent right down their gullet, and you girls swallowed it whole. I know a lot of men did too, but ever since women got the right to vote, all you girls have done, as a group, I know many of you young ladies who are listen to podcasts or not this way, but as a whole, women have voted in more of the state, and not necessarily a protective one or one of patriotism. It's all fairness, touchy-feely, utopian, leftist, socialist poppycock. That's all that's happened. Again, why I don't care when these terrorist attacks, they happen always in liberal parts of town, downtown Paris. The other one, this one hit downtown as well, not downtown, the subway and all that, in the major metro area, taking out leftists. The where was it? How much you want to bet the terrorist attack in New York? You know, that got a disproportionate number of leftists. You do it to yourselves. You do it to yourselves. And the people getting raped? Not exactly gun-toting conservative males. Not exactly us libertarian guys carrying our pistol and carry concealed permits. It's you girls that, well, welcome, refuge. We don't care. Nothing's going to change. Nothing will change. So until you guys decide to start voting in, you know, nationalist right-wing fronts, people and politicians have got the balls to say, no, you guys are out of here. There ain't no more immigrants. Until you get your Donald Trump, maybe that will happen. Maybe that would be the first step towards reestablishing the sovereignty of Western civilization and Western nations. But until that point comes, this is going to continue. This could be on schedule like clockwork. Once every 3 to 6 months, there's going to be a terrorist attack. It's going to happen where you have these nice open door, lovey-dovey, let everybody in, kumbaya, 1960s to 1970s bullshit. And then these people are just going to bomb you, rape you. I know not all Muslims. I know, guys. I know. And I feel really bad for you because, of course, we have a lot of, you know, conservative, libertarian-minded, not even practicing Muslims, but Middle Easterners, people from Mid-East or Islamic countries. And maybe you are Islamic. Maybe you have slight Islamic tendencies. You know, like most Christians here, they don't really go to church. Oh, yeah, I guess I'm Christian. And I know you guys aren't terrorists. But I'm sorry. There's no reason to have a conversation about this terror. There should be no news coverage of it because nothing is going to get done. It's going to be like a business meeting. It's going to be like these meetings I had to go to when we were in a loan committee. It's almost identical. It's called problem loans. We have these problem loans, distressed loans, OREO, other real estate owned. Basically, the loans that are in default or delinquency because we lent to a bunch of deadbeats and they never pay us or they're behind in their payments. And every week, we'd go through this loan portfolio of problem loans. We go through each one. Oh, did John pay yet? No, John didn't pay yet. Oh, what are you going to do? I think I'll give him a call. Okay, follow up. Did you send another letter? Because we had to send. Did you? Oh, yeah, I sent a letter. Well, which letter is this? This is number 17. Seriously, same shit over and over every week, never solving the problem. Never collected our collateral, never repossessed, never went and foreclosed on the problem. Never. Just kicked the can down the road, never solving the fucking problem. Wasting our fucking time. And it's the exact same thing with any news media coverage about this terrorist attack. All you have to say, there was a terrorist attack, it was ISIS, this number of people died, here's where the bomb went off. That's all you have to say now. And then I think at least the savvy, the intelligent, the consciously aware people like you listeners to my podcast, we'll just say, yep, there it is, that's it, and then you move about your day. You enjoy the decline. You go split your wood, you go stack your wood, you go play your video games, you do whatever it is you're going to do. The rest of the world, do they have a candlelit vigil? Let me see. Let's see if these fuckers got candlelit vigils. I know everyone's going to do Jesus Brussels, and we're going to put the Belgian flag on our fucking Facebook. Brussels. Candlelit vigil? Virgil? Candlelit vigil. Family, parents. Lights out. Let's do news. I want to know if there's been some Paris attack suspect was ready to start something from Brussels. Family of Paris attacker at Brussels solidarity vigil. Oh, that's 4 months ago or 4 minutes ago? November 18th. Oh, that's 4 months ago. Kashmir Council holds candlelit vigil. Oh, that's a year ago. 3 months. Okay. Don't worry, they'll break out the candles. There'll be a moment of silence. Will we lower our flags to half staff? How fucking tiring is that getting? Ooh, we lowered our flags to half staff. That'll show them. So that's what the sheeple are going to do. That's what these people who vote for diversity and socialism and leftism and we don't like Western say, and then all cultures are equal. And oh, look how we're gonna go and commit suicide. So we can show our diversity and open-mindedness credentials. That's what the sheeple are going to do. For the rest of us who listen to the Clary podcast, who are ahead of the curve, who knows this is just what it's going to be, like a train coming in every hour. There's going to be a terrorist attack every 3 months. Please don't waste your time. Move on with your life and do something fun. That's what, let's do sponsors. Huh? Sponsors is going to be more practical. At least we get something done with sponsors. Where are the sponsors? There we go. Chad Elkins, 2016 Comprehensive Tax Guide. You can find that on Amazon.com. Along with Vox Day's two books, Cuckservatives and Social Justice Warriors Always Lie. I'm sure these are all paperback and Kindle. Chad Elkins also, if you're looking for an accountant, go ahead, go to my website, captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. And go and look for his banner, click on it, it'll take you to his Facebook page. Because he's too busy doing taxes to set up his own webpage right now. But that's coming down the road once he's done with busy season. We also have my Cafe Press site. You can go to the blog and just look for the little green banner. Buy yourself a bumper sticker or a coffee mug with Marcus's face on it. Then there's the podcast archive. If you're saying, whoa, I see here on the RSS feed or the SoundCloud that there's only episodes 100 plus. 100 to what? 140, 141 we're on now. What happened to the previous ones? Those have been archived to save space. And so if you want, I have those on a thumb drive, and I could go ahead and mail you a copy of those. It'd be episodes 25 through 100, because I don't know where the first 25 episodes went. And you don't want those anyway, because the audio quality is kind of poor. And that's where I was cutting my podcasting teeth. More video or audio editing than anything else. So you could go ahead and get that there. Then we have the League of Extraordinary Podcasters. These are colleagues and friends of mine. We have the 405 Media. John has been kind enough to plug me over on that radio station of podcasts, basically. So go to 405media.com. Silvio Canto's Canto Talk. That's on Blog Talk Radio. Free Domain Radio. That's Stefan Molman News Outfit. The Beckloff, B-E-C-H-T-L-O-F-F. That is, he's on YouTube. You can geek out with the Beckloff, and he's advancing, he's pushing, he can get callers now on his show. I could too, but I'd have to do live podcasting, and I choose to be lazy. There, that's what it is. I'll be honest, I don't really want to put forth the effort, and like, hey, we're going to do it every day at this time. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should have some structure in my life. Yeah, they'll prevent me from listing all over the place. The Black Brigade. Go to theblackbrigade.org, where DT and the man have a damn fine podcast. They podcast every Thursday, and then it's published every Friday after DT goes through all the editing and audio. Financial Survival Network. That's Carrie Lutz's outfit down in Florida there. Crush the Street. That's on YouTube as well. And Engineered Truth. That's Matt's, you guys know him. He's basically kind of asshole consulting, but he does YouTube and he does really good interviews with different people and different folks. If you want to buy a Glorious hat, go to glorioushat.com and buy one of Glorious Carl's Glorious hats made with real fake dead animal. It's warm. It's one of them Russia hats, and it's got a new placard that you can put into it for the 2016 election. Also, there's Asshole Consulting. If you have a question, if you need guidance and wisdom, and you think I might be the person to give it to you, and you want to give me money, you can go to assholeconsulting.com. Send me your questions that you're too shy or bashful to ask. It doesn't have to be a video response. It could be an email response. We can keep it private, but most people want video responses, so I'm okay with that. So go to assholeconsulting.com, or if you know someone who needs a swift kick in their ass, go to assholeconsulting.com. There is the Amazon affiliate program. If you buy stuff online, please, if you want to help out the captain, do your shopping through Aaron's Amazon affiliate program. Go to my blog, captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. Click on the Amazon banner there. Do not go straight to Amazon. Go to the Amazon banner at my blog. Click on that. And then that way it tells Amazon that you came from me. And anything you purchase, I get a 7 or 6% cut. And that way you don't have to make donations. Just buy your shit online, develop the hobby of going, or the habit of going here first and doing your shopping. Because if everybody who listened did all their online shopping, I wouldn't have to work anymore. Actually, I would. I would have to keep doing this because then no one would go to them. Which is, oh, yep, okay, I'm going here forever for the rest of my life. Doing all my shopping. Don't care if it comes out with a new podcast or not. Do the Philippines by Matt Forney. You could go to mattforney.com. The Best Offshore Banks by Andrew Henderson. He's over at nomadcapitalist.com. You can go to their sites, buy their books. And I have my two classes, the analysis and valuation of stocks, and then stocks, bonds, investing, oh my. You could search the titles. They're offered at hundreds of different places. Libraries, schools, community ed departments, nonprofits. Go there, search, take the class wherever you can find it cheapest. And just be on your best behavior. We don't talk politics. We don't curse. We don't swear. and because it's basically a whole bunch of grandparent age people that are taking those classes. So and it isn't political. And when it comes to the economic analysis, sometimes it has to be political.
I think it's corporate greed. Corporate greed's evil.
Then why are you learning to invest in stocks if you hate corporations so much? I never understood that. Corporations are greedy. Well, then why do you want to invest in a stock? Because that's what's going to make money. I mean, that's what makes the stock price go up, is corporate greed, the drive for profit. And then you ask them, like, well, there should be a balance. Okay, tell me the balance. What's the line? Where does it go from good profit to being too much profit, too much greed? And then you bitch and whine if your stock prices don't go up. Well, hey, you didn't want them to have too much greed. When does greed occur? There's no such thing as greed. Theft, that's greed. When you take money that's not yours. Or fraud, or you steal it somehow, you get through some illegal or immoral means. But a corporation, abiding by the laws, bending over backwards to suck the cocks of CSR bullshit type people. See, look, we're doing everything everybody wants. See? Like me, worship me. Why doesn't anybody like me? What was it? Of course, it's not a corporation, Trudeau. Half the people in my cabinet will be women. So you aren't for meritocracy. You view people. You are a sexist. You don't care about merit or the person. You care about the vag or not. Anyway. Please tell me where, like, greed, explain that to me. That conflict of interest or that conflict of logic. I want to make money in the stock market, but I don't like corporate greed.
I think corporations make too much. I want to invest in a 401k. What the fuck? I know.
It's a lack of education in the K-12 system. For people to come out and know so little about investing or the stock market or something as simple as reading an income statement. You know, being able to understand what an income statement is. It's basically a budget. Not even able to do their own personal budget. Not even be able to read or understand a corporation's income statement. And then figure out that it's profits that drive the stock price. What do you think drives the stock price up? Bird farts? What? Just Obama's ego? George Clooney's pompous arrogance? That's what inflates the stock market? Wind? Sunspots? What do you think drives the stock price up? Historically speaking, I know now it's Federal Reserve dollars being printed off. I know. But God, if you can't even get people to understand an income statement, understand that stock prices and, quote, corporate greed are kind of, you can't have those be mutually exclusive events. try then to explain, if they don't understand that, then try to explain how central bank money inflates the stock market. Through corporate buybacks and low interest rates and hedge funds and institutional... Never mind. I do have to admit, though, I will admit, a fair amount of my students, they do know it's good to see it because I have this one question. It's like, okay, why is the stock prices going up but earnings aren't? And everyone's coming in with many reasons, many answers are out there, but there's a lot of people. It's like, good, at least some people are paying attention to the news. Some people understand this. So that is heartening, but then... And this isn't necessarily my class, but I remember going to college and just in general talking to people. It's corporate greed. Is that what it is? Corporate greed? Greed?
Yeah, 42.
Oh, so yeah, you can take those classes. Pushing Rubber Downhill by Adam Piggott. You can go. He's got a blog, Pushing Rubber Downhill now. So not just his book, but he's got a blog. The Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty. That's my book. All these available on Kindle and paperback. Bachelor's Economics, that's going to be coming out in audio here relatively soon. Still waiting for the normalized video to come back. Enjoy the Decline. After these terrorist attacks, please, people, just go buy that book. I know you're upset. I know you're very angry, as you should be. But it's awesome. I'm to the point where I have given away so many fucks in the past, I have zero fucks left to give. And I really don't. I really don't have any fucks left to give. And I was at my bar having my coffee, and when I saw the news that there was a terrorist attack, I'm like, oh, okay. It didn't even turn. Remember when the Twin Towers came down, and like it was like you were in shock for the better part of 2 days? Things kind of maybe got back to normal, Like, everything shut down. No, this time I'm watching. They're still playing baseball games. The Twins are over at, where they were playing Baltimore, I think. Minnesota Twins versus Baltimore, whoever they are. Baseball, spring season, down in Phoenix. And everyone's playing. It's become normal. Meh. You want to know why? I think everybody's learning to enjoy the decline. Maybe everybody did read my book. But anyway, yeah, if you were still annoyed by the terrorist attack, like if you still had a heart left, you still cared, you're still angry, but then you feel so helpless because you can't go grab a gun and just start implementing policy on your own because you'll get arrested and thrown in jail, probably killed by your own country's military or police. If you feel like that, you have to understand you don't control the world, but you do control your response to it. So I'd recommend going and getting Enjoy the Decline. Behind the Housing Crash. That's my first book. That's a good one. We also have my best of from the blog. That's Captain Capitalism Top Shelf and Captain Capitalism Reserved. That's only if you want to read my best readings. What I'm also doing though is I'm having Undertow from Chris Beckloff's podcast. I'm having him do some YouTube videos for me. He's putting together the audio for some of my better podcasts or some of my better posts, so he reads it, so you could go on YouTube and listen to it in case you don't like to read. So if you don't want the book, and they're not all up there, of course, but some of the better ones I'm having him put through on YouTube. Silvio Canto's book, Cubanos in Wisconsin, Davis Rini's As I Walk These Broken Roads, Marty Andrade's Nixon's Guide to the Multiverse, Ann Sterzinger, go to AnnSterzinger.com. S-T-E-R Zinger. She's got some books. What are her books? I should probably know these, huh? Huh? She's helped you, Clary, huh? Why can't you help her? Boom, boom, boom. No, I want web. Yeah, and sternzinger.com. What's the books? Girl Detectives. NVSQVAM. The Talkative Corpse. And In the Sky. So she's got a ton of stuff, a lot of books written there. Oh, she doesn't like Lacey Green. Does anyone like Lacey Green? Getting old is always fun. What's old Lacey Green up to nowadays? She got a YouTube. Hang on, let's see what she's got going on. How many millions of followers does this worthless person have? I should have just lied. Lacey Green. 150 videos. And she's got what? No, I don't want to hear you, Lacey. There we go. Ugh. She's got 150 videos and 1 million followers. How many she's got? How many followers? 1 million? A Frank video series about sexuality with Lacey Green. Oh my god. I should have done, guys. She is the perfect example of just not being intelligent and selling what people want. Just lying to people, telling what they want to hear and be an idiot. Oh, did she lose weight? Well, that's 3 years ago. Well, she was all right 3 years ago. What happened now? 2 years ago? A month ago? Oh, yeah, she is not. Ooh. 1 week ago. Jesus Christ, what the hell is happening? This is not... I always find that it's a cheap shot to pick on somebody for their physique or among our, like, look at her, she's getting fat. And you're like, you look like, no, she's not getting fat. She's not fat. You know, it's just, it's something like they want to rip on someone who's an idiot. So then they go for the looks, which I've never, I mean, you know, with the Amazing Atheist, you can do that. Because it's funny. But especially with the women, I think they always go after, oh, she's getting fat, she's ugly. And I'm like, no, she's old, she's 32. It's like, good, really? You're stretching it. But maybe it was Beckloff, or was it the Honey Badgers? They're not joking. She has been getting fat. She is not. It's sad. There was, where'd she go? There was one, how old? Yeah, 3 years ago. Man, she looked good 3 years ago. And now, not so much. No. No. That's... Proof right there, guys. Look, okay, you want some career advice? Don't work hard. Don't try truth. Try lies. Sell lies. Sell filth, sell smut, sell lies. I should get into, like, porn. That's what I should have done. Do you know how much more money I would have made when the internet came out and I just grabbed myself a camera and said, okay, we're doing this porn thing. Why would we do the porn thing? I don't know. I think it's just going to take off. There'll be billions of dollars. What is the porn industry on your online? Let's look this up. You know what? We could compare the porn industry based on GDP and then the economics industry based on the number of book sales annually. How much you want to bet economics has got jack? Online size. What is the size? What is the size of the online porn? How big is porn? Well, this is 2001. It's got to be bigger than that. Is the internet killing the porn industry? 10 facts about porn industry. Internet pornography statistics. Here we go. All right, let's take a look at this. During the time you've been on this page, 18,000 has been, so every second, $3,000 is spent on pornography. China, the porn revenue for China is $27 billion. U.S. porn industry revenue. 2006, what? Okay. $13 billion. Now, this is 2006. This is a while ago. $13 billion per month? No. Magazines, internet. Bear with me, guys. Income. Just give me a GDP. Is it $13 billion? It's not showing me online versus... I'm just saying there's... Look, you could take all the economics books sold in the past 10 years and it doesn't amount to $15 billion per month or per year, all right? So don't study truth. Don't sell truth. You want to be a whore. You want to be a prostitution of lies. You want to be a shill, all right? Do whatever Lacey Green did, except some other version of it. Still think you girls have it. You have it so easy. If you girls want to make money on the internet, I'm not even talking porn. You just have to do stupid shit. Have boobs, have some cleavage. Yeah! You know, film your dog. I don't know. There's got to be something. Man, I wish... I should... Maybe that's what I should do. I should go and try and find girls who are good looking. And not do porn. Just do stupid videos. About, you're like, what's your favorite thing? Do you like stuffed dolls? Yeah, okay, talk about your stuffed dolls, but make sure you're wearing a shirt that shows a lot of cleavage. And be cute and frolicky. Cavort. Inside joke for you IT crowd people there. And we're just, no, we're going to make millions. Millions of people will watch you because you're cute and wacky. You're zany. Wow. Look at you. You have a doll and you're talking about how you made it. And then you're the blonde. Okay, put your hair up in a cute little ponytail. You wear a cute little whatever outfit. And what do you like to do? You like to make cookies. Good. Cookies with Cookie. There we go. Cookie, your name's Cookie. Oh, it's so cute. Yeah, we're going to make chocolate chip cookies. Oh my goodness. And just film you make chocolate chip cookies. And you can talk about the chocolate chip cookies. Sometimes I like using white chocolate. But sometimes I like milk chocolate. A lot of people, they always go with the traditional dark chocolate with the Toll House chocolate chip cookies. But I sometimes go with the Ghirardelli. Sometimes I just like to break up my chocolate because I don't like chocolate chips. And then I say, oh, look how big these. And you can control the size of the chunks. Long as that cleavage is throwing, we're making way more money than the most intelligent of economics and finance videos I've ever put together. Way more. What the hell was I? Ann Sturzinger. And then, actually, they were talking about that with Ann. It's funny. They had an idea. Seriously, here's another idea, gals. This is on the Beckloff podcast. They were trying to get Ann, not really trying. They were joking about how instead of writing books and working hard, all Ann had to do, they're going to go down to Goodwill, buy a bunch of used panties on the cheap. And then Ann would either model them or simply say she wore them and sell them on the internet to horny, disgusting, dirty old men. Or girls. Who knows who's buying this shit? And you could say, well, what is it? Let's take a look at the price. Use pain. I hate to go so dark, but this is where human society and human psychology, social psychology has gone. Use panties. How much you want to bet? Use panties. Sell used panties. Panty deals. Selling your used panties is one... honest to God, there's already a website. Panty deal. Pantydeal.com. Selling your used panties is one way to make easy money. The market is ripe with eager customers, and the panty seller has plenty of room to sell her price point. Some used panty collections have sold for $200 and up. To make fast money and eliminate the need to launder your underwear. Yeah, because that's what people are thinking about. Well, I don't wanna do laundry. What should I do? I got an idea. Let's sell it online. Sell your used panties one at a time or in a week's worth 7-day bundle. So just how do women sell their used panties? Take a look at some of the most popular ways to make a buck. Selling used panties with panty deals. Used panty. The art of selling used panties to total strangers requires some wisdom and discretion. If you would like to branch out your sales for some quick cash, try an ad in the classifieds. Guys, this is the website and you haven't written it right. Although I'm sure no one really cares about typos in this particular thing. Of panty deal here to market your panty products. Before you jump in there and hawk your first bunch of panties, be sure to follow a few simple guidelines to keep your identity safe from a predator. When advertising your panties online, be sure to use a post office box to receive your checks or money orders. If you plan to accept only online payments, your classified ad should refer your client to your website. If you feel the need to keep a safe distance from your used panty customers, place your online... Oh my God. Seriously, I'm not joking, guys. This, look, ladies. Heck, you don't even be a gal. You just be a guy, grab some girl, put her face up, say, hey, look, I want to sell panties. And I'm just going to claim people use it. Go buy a bunch of panties, run them through the wash a couple thousand times, make them seem used, and then just start selling them. I want to see what they cost. Who buys women's used panties? The sniffing used panties trend. Sniffing? Oh, God, Jesus. What the fuck, are we dogs? Yes, Aaron, you just said that this is where society is going. This you're on the cutting edge. You're using your economic mind to capitalize off of people's depravity. The sniffing used panties trend had small beginnings some 20 years ago in Japan. However, men from all over the world are participating in the used panty trade. Males and females have a different scent that only the opposite gender is keen to pick up on. Men who purchase used panties get an erotic thrill when they sniff the underwear. Very much like some males enjoy sniffing women's shoes. What fucking world have I gotten into? The number of men who enjoy sniffing a woman's panties will never be known as fact. However, many talkative males have come forward and disclosed that they are naturally aroused by the scent of used women's underwear, and they suspect that most other men will not admit it. You know what? I ain't smelling panties, okay? Here's one guy that's on the no, I don't like the smell of anybody's downstairs area. I don't care if it's Jennifer Aniston. I don't care if it's that Jordana Brewster. Look her up. Woo! I think she's going to replace Jennifer Aniston. No, not smelling no panties. Make money off it, but I'm not doing it. Both selling. It's like a drug dealer. I'll never do heroin, but by God will I sell it. Both selling and buying used panties. Da, 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 da. First step, get a pay panty deal account. You can sign up for free. Well, you don't have to do... Why would you go through panty deal? Why don't you just go market it yourself? Set up your own website. Sell used panties. Buy used panties. Let's see what prices are. I gotta set up an account. I just want to see what they go for. I'm not gonna set up an account. Hang on. I can't believe there's a goddamn website. Used. Please don't be the first. Okay, good. Used cars come up for the first search. Used panties. Emily's used panties. Here we go. Look at this. I can't believe it. Yep, this is exactly it. Hi, I'm Emily, and I sell used panties. I'm not joking, guys. My store. I just want to see what they... Fullbacks. Boy shorts and... She's breaking it all down. Fullbacks? What's a fullback? Oh, that's a fullback. Oh my God, $60. The galley's selling him for $60 a piece. 60. 60 bucks. So it cost the Chinese what? 25 cents in child labor and material to make this thing. You pay, I know the lingerie is a little more expensive. The girlfriend gets lingerie. She's like, these are more expensive than you think. All right, and I know, I saw. So these are what? Maybe 15, 20 bucks? And then you sell it for 60 after wearing it once? So what, a markup of 300%, 400%? I don't know what a fullback is. Panty shots, my store, custom video, spoil me. What is this? Is this where you just donate money to her? What girl doesn't love to be spoiled? Da da da. Yeah, it's a PayPal. Oh, that's a wish list. My store, use panties. Boy shorts and hipsters. I think I know what boy shorts are. What do these go for? 60 bucks again. Good Lord. Really? Use panties. G-strings and thongs. You charge more for this because it's sexy? Nope. Oh, 65. That one's 65. And you don't even see her face. You don't even see her face, guys. And she has a ton. See, here's the old economist mind going in here. She has a ton of different. You got to go. Check this out. Emily's used panties. Okay? She's buying a ton of this stuff. So she's making money off of it. I mean, I'm sure she uses it as well. But she's probably making a ton of money. In other words, if she wasn't making a lot of money, she wouldn't have this much inventory. And she's selling them. She's actually getting 60 bucks used panties. Bra and panty sets. Is this more because bras cost more? I know bras are the more expensive one. There are no products in this category. All right, so maybe she's not. Custom videos. Is this the... To order a custom video... Yeah, this is just... 100 bucks! Holy shit! A 10-minute custom video is 80 bucks. 15-minute custom video, 100. A 20-minute video, 150 bucks. I don't even make that much. That's four times my rate. Of course, I'm not, showing my vag to the entire world, but, shoot, for 400 bucks an hour, I'll go into porn? Shit. Blog. She's got a blog. I got, this is a whole different world, man. Panty girl of the week, number 31, Sierra Fox. Now, so she's getting other different girls. Your age, 89. Name of business, American Foxies. How'd you get into the selling used panties? A close friend and her husband told me about the site. I sent my picture application over that same day. If I send a pair of my big small panties. Guys, girls, there's no reason to go to college, honestly. There just is no reason. You want to talk about pussy power, this is it. All you have to do is take a piece of cloth manufactured in China, wear it once in close approximation to your unit downstairs, and then there's a market. There's so much demand, so much desperation, the men will pay 60 bucks for that used piece of cloth. And if you have 15 minutes and you want to just simply spread your legs in front of a camera, you can make 100 bucks. I don't know. I'd have to do more studying and research. This is, I got a link to this. I got to contact this girl. The economics of this is just fascinating. Hang on, I'm going to put this down. I got to interview this gal. This is a whole new world. Interview. Maybe I could do that. Beckloff knows the, how to do that Google Hangout shit. Interview Emily's used panties. This is just nuts. Why the fuck am I working so? Don't you girls tell me you have it so hard. Please don't tell me about the wage gap. I want to know about, can I take my boxers out, huh? UsedAaronBoxers.com. Hey, the captain wore these. He's got his Minion boxers, his Iron Man boxers, his little skull boxers. Huh? How much you guys want to bet? I ain't gonna get no sick. I wouldn't get 60 cents. People would pay me to take the website down. Clary's used socks. Hey, you like the smell of feet? I got sweaty feet. I went running. use these socks, I could do like custom videos, walk around with my coffee, my Rumplemints, and just my boxer shorts with my socks. How sexy would that be, huh? Y'all got some stripper music kind of in the background? Bump, ba da da yet da da yet da da yet. You know, do a little, not boudoir, what's it called? Vaudeville? Burlesque kicking show, get a little dance routine going on. Oh, what time is it? How much are we in? We're only in this for 38. All right, I apologize. It's going to be a short one because I really want to just rip into that. I did want to address the terrorist attacks, saying it should not have been addressed. And I was going to talk about oh, no, hang on. I'm sorry, we're not going to do that. I got a fucking ton of fan mail to go through. Let's bang this shit out of the way. Got that. Hang on. That's it. Some Jeff. Jeff writes, "Hello, Captain. I've just finished reading Curse of the High IQ and wanted to pass on a few thoughts. First, please let me say how much I appreciated the book. Perhaps it ain't easy being an idiot, as Forrest Gump said, but it isn't easy being at the other end of the bell curve either. I've not had a proper IQ test, but given my SAT, I took the test in the mid-1980s. When it was still useful as an IQ estimate, and GRE scores, and a PhD in the physical science. Oh, you have a PhD in physical sciences. My IQ is probably 140-ish. Yeah, I'd say so. That said, I'm not even close to being the smartest person I know. I've had the privilege of working with people who made me feel as bright as the average can of cat food. My thoughts go mainly to the psychology part of the book. Do you have any evidence of outlook correlating with IQ? For example, I'd have to say I'm almost entirely threat-oriented as opposed to opportunity-oriented. When I see a potentially bad situation, it's almost as if a fault tree instantly forms in my mind, and I can quickly see a path going to the worst-case scenario, even if the problem is minor. Example, the bread is going stale. I'm not clinically depressed, but anxiety is surely there. I'd be interested in hearing if I'm just a far outlier or if this is coming." No, it's vision. Okay, I gotta close Emily's used panties. She's not bad on the eyes either. It's distracting me. No, this is just common. This is a benefit of having a high IQ is you can see and forecast and predict where the dominoes are going to fall. I use this when in the housing bubble, the education bubble, and economics. I could see it all the time. And I don't know if it's like it's threat assessment, but then also opportunity assessment, where it's like, oh, this bad shit is going to happen, so we got to prevent it. Like I can see the end result of Europeans and Americans being pussies and not cutting off immigration from third, second world countries or cultures that just don't jive with Western civilization and not taking the time to assimilate the current immigrants that we have now. So I can see the logical end of that. I can see the logical end of having whites be the minority in a population and of those whites, an increasing percentage of them being socialist. I can see where the end game is. So that's like, and you can't do anything about it. That's a mythical Cassandra. But then there's also opportunities. Like The Big Short, there's a perfect example of really brilliant guys that said, let's capitalize on this and start shorting it. So I don't think that's a bad thing. It's a good thing. It'll keep you safe. You could predict like, oh, how's this one going to go down? But not just to protect yourself in case it's bad, but then also to capitalize on whether it's good. On a related point, anecdotally, I'd have to say most of the smartest people I've known aren't terribly nice. There are, of course, exceptions. I wonder if this is the nihilism you discussed sneaking in. It makes sense that it's easier for more average people to be happy, given that the world is more or less suited towards their needs and desires. Yeah, and imagine you're a mythical Cassandra. If you don't know what it is, look it up. You can see these problems, and you have the solutions, but no one wants to hear it. And then when you recommend it, the masses, the sheep will call you, you know, they hate your guts, you're a racist, you go to the gulags, or you're not a proud Stalinist party member, you're a bigot, we're not going to hire you. And yeah, after a while, I think, I don't know if they're, it is nihilism, but I think you just get burned out after a while. I mean, I wish, ignorance is bliss. I wish I could just be that stupid idiot and not truly care about it. I mean, here's the level of stupid and blissful ignorance I want. I want to not care. I want to not know the difference between a billion and a trillion. I want to be like when I was five, you know, right before Ronald Reagan, I even got, and not care. I mean, just like, well, they'll take care of it. The government will take care of it. They'll just take care of it. Well, the lights are on. I want to be that level of stupid. Because then all the worrying and concern and fear go away. Because, like, you just, huh? Why is the lights off? What's Zerka? I thought diversity was good. What's happening? Why is there a bomb going off? Why are they killing us? But it'd be like Bernie Madoff, you know? You lived 70% of your life as a multi-billionaire, even though you weren't one. And then you just got to live the last 10 years of your life in jail. I don't know. That kind of be all right by me. That level of lying and ignorance. So, but yeah, I it wears on you. It's just that I'd say most really intelligent people are probably meaner than the average fat, dumb, and happy schlep on the street. I could be wrong. I'd have to look at some studies. I'm just speculating. And like I said, there was, as I mentioned in the book, this is a field wide open for anyone that wants to study it. There's very few studies done on correlating high IQ with, you know, happiness, depression, drug use, et cetera, et cetera. And I highlight, there are some studies, but they're not conclusive, and I kind of go into that in the book. I love all these fucking assholes who are, like, ripping the book apart. It's all theory and pontification. Like, yeah, because there was no research or data. I even went out and tried to do my own research. But, you know, I'm not, like, a doctorate. No one's going to take my study seriously. As an economist, I pulled some data together. And there is no conclusive, and I say that, there's no conclusive study. I can't cite studies when there are no studies to cite, because no research has been done into it. So yes, it is a theoretical book. You know, I started noticing some correlation. Heaven help us, how did human society advance before the social sciences? I mean, what did we do without peer-reviewed journal? How did Western civilization ever get off the ground? I also appreciated your description of how hard it can be to socialize. I have so little in common with the people around me that it's almost impossible to socialize, especially when adding in the fact that I'm pretty introverted. I have one good friend, similar IQ, who's much older than me, and a handful of acquaintances. I'm divorced, her choice, she got the tingles for bad boys, and by the time my kids are gone, I may, for all practical purposes, be completely alone. My own social interaction will be shallow ones at work, and that's not a pleasant prospect. Well, at least you got work to go hang out with. I'm hanging out with you guys, yelling into a microphone by myself. That's another problem. If you guys really, you think I'm whining and complaining, just wait till you get here. Just wait. I'm not making it up, guys. My only social interactions will be shallow ones at work. Reading your book made me realize it's not entirely my fault, which does help, but I don't see a good solution. A convertible won't make a damn bit of difference. Ah, well. Best wishes and thanks again, Jeff. Well, thank you, Jeff. Yeah, no, there's a chapter. Another complaint from the idiot masses. Look, the book was not intended for you. If you come in, and I don't know why I get this criticism about the book. It says, he comes up with all these problems and offers no solutions. The last chapter is titled Solutions. There's an entire fucking chapter of solutions. Now, if you're that much of a fucking idiot that you read the book and you said, well, he has all these problems but provides no solutions, and you didn't see the chapter called Solutions, you are too stupid to be reading that book. That book is not meant for you. Go read 50 Shades of Grey. Go watch the football game. Go watch Swingy Stick or Sports Ball. Okay? Go watch The Bachelor and some reality TV shows. Go watch the View or the daytime soap operas. Don't read my fucking book that was meant for smart people. I mean, it's like reading Atlas Shrugged and saying, well, yeah, there was no speeches about economics. There was no one, I mean, there was all these problems and no one delivered a long speech about economics. You're right. Maybe this is a little too highbrow for you. Eric writes, excellent book. This is about the housing crisis. I finished it up in one sitting yesterday. While I knew most of the details about the shit that we got showered with, I did not know all of them, and your specific examples were particularly galling. After 7 years of holding a mortgage gotten before the market heated up back in 1998, I paid off the entire loan to save on the interest costs and never took out a HELOC, so I missed all the fun. Anyhow, thanks for the good read, Eric. Well, thank you, Eric. I appreciate that very much. What's this? Uh, This is Matt. Matt writes, "Hey, Cappy, I stumbled upon your blog a week ago while Googling something about diamond prices. Got sent to your post about women who love diamonds and what a terrible investment, quote, they are. And I felt like I was reading my own rantings. I have no doubt we were separated at birth. As a high IQ atheist libertarian INTJ, I don't know that Myers-Briggs thing. I don't know what I am. The world is a frustrating place, and after just finishing your book, I have to thank you for putting everything so clearly and in such a fucking hilarious manner. I have no idea where you live or when, where you travel, but fuck, I would love to hit a bar and drink with you for a night. People like us are rare indeed. I'm lucky enough to have a business partner who is a true equal, but both of us routinely pull our hair out at the frustrations of everyday life interacting with morons. It gets very lonely sometimes." I keep telling you guys, there is loneliness. I'm not making it up. Another great complaint and criticism of the book is he sure does complain a lot about having a high IQ. Yeah, that's why the book is called The Curse of the High IQ. What do you think it was going to be about bunnies and flowers and roses? Oh, the great benefits of having the high IQ? That would make sense. But with the title called The Curse of the High IQ, I would probably expand and talk about problems of having high IQs. You know, curses of having a high, things that are drawbacks. But you're the same idiots that said, you know, there were no solutions, even though there was an entire chapter titled Solutions. "To compound it, I now live in a very small rural town that seems to have an even higher than average concentration of cretins. My cross to bear. Anyhow, the mention of Bill Burr, who I fucking love, at the end of your book got me to thinking about how smart people tend to gravitate towards the same comics. I guess you're also a Greg Giraldo fan and a Doug Stanhope fan." I am a huge Doug Stanhope fan, but I don't know Greg Giraldo. I'm going to have to save that. And Mitch Hedberg as well. Yeah, Mitch Hedberg was hilarious. Longest time I thought he was a black guy. And then he said, "No, he's white." I said, "What? He sounds black." Like, no. White is the paper you are reading right now. "And how many of those comics struggle with drinking and drugs?" All of them. Geraldo is dead. Have you ever read his life story? Hedberg is dead from drugs. Stanhope is a total nut with the booze and drugs. I know Carlin was too. I always wondered how the fuck Carlin made it into his 70s. I was lucky enough to see him 2 months before he died. Then you have the comics for morons, the guys that go crazy trying to figure out how the fuck they make money. The George Lopez's and Larry the Cable guys of the world. Never heard about them struggling with booze and drugs. Their life is a picnic since they fit right in with their audience. I don't know if their life is a picnic. I mean, to be a performer like Lopez or Larry the Cable guy. Now, I don't like George Lopez because he's in my opinion, a racist. And he thinks that, oh, yeah, fuck, you know, you shouldn't have nations. They let everybody in. But all that aside, he's to go up there and perform, and you know what, you think Larry the Cable Guy really like Larry the Cable Guy in the real world? You know, Bill Burr is himself, you know, Eddie Izzard is himself. Larry the Cable Guy, I think, you know, he's happy to get out of that damn plaid shirt. Probably is a very educated, you know, guy, probably, who knows, listens to classical music, just happens to have a southern drawl. Hell, he may have a British accent for all we know. But yeah, they just play to a larger audience. Got me thinking about it anyways. Bottom line, fucking fantastic book, and I'm buying copies for my very small surprise circle of friends. I just ordered all your other books as well. Thanks for the laughs and the brilliant insight. Matt. Okay, yeah, and then he provides his website. Go to pricklypearfarm.com. Oh, kind of interesting. I hope it's a podcast. I got to put that there. We'll put that on the to-do list along with the other. Oh, here's that. This is from another Jeffrey. Jeffrey writes, "You are a real jerk, but you are right. If I had any money to send anyone for the video, it would be you. Bravo, and I hope you do well with donations. You are dead on with your perception, and I think you explained it in a way that anyone with enough brains worth taking could understand it. Thanks for your video. Now I can stop cowering in my bunker and go do something about my own personal economy. Lots of love, Jeff." That's from Asshole Consulting. Thank you very much, Jeff. Appreciate that. There, that's it. Good. Got through all that. Look at all this shit, all this paperwork. God damn it. We haven't even done Asshole Consulting yet today. This is like having a real job now. This is like having a real job. It's better than any other job I've ever had in my life, but it's getting there. I mean, I'm almost caught up, but then I won't be caught up. But I'm not complaining, I'm just pointing out. I am complaining. I'm complaining about not even first world problems, zero world problems. It sneaks up on you. You're there one day, you can't wait to get out of banking or your cubicle office job, you're commuting, you're hating your life. I remember back in the day, you have to wake up if you want to look at a map. Atham, stop what you're doing, pull up this map on Google. There's a town called Northfield. I used to work at the Wells Fargo down there until they shut it down because the people down there were fucking retards and mismanaging it. And it was great. I would commute all the way from Minneapolis to Northfield. And I got paid $27,000 a year because Wells Fargo didn't make enough. Corporate greed! And you have to wake up really early. And right before the sun rises, obviously, it's as cold as it's going to get. So the temperatures bottom out at about 6 a.m. Then the sun starts to rise and heats up. And if you had the unfortunate, not necessarily the cold, but the combination of where rain would start to come in, but then it would get, and it was already freezing before, so your car was freezing, rain would hit your car, it would freeze on the windshield, then it would accumulate as, like, up above the temperature was warm, but down below, the temperature is below freezing. So you get this sleet and the slush, and all of a sudden, you got a centimeter of ice thick, a centimeter thick of ice on your windshield, and you got to take the scraper off. Well, not if it's a centimeter thick. So what I would do is I'd go microwave a whole pot of water, and go out there, and you have to have it boiling, and then melt. And it took like 3 or 4 pots of water to melt away the ice, and that's what you had to do. And that just added like 15 minutes to getting your car ready, because you don't have the time in the world to chisel away ice a centimeter thick. And I remember that. And I'll never ever want to do that again. But all of a sudden, hey, this is great. Look, we're doing a video. We're talking about panties, selling fucking panties online. Who knew? Intellectually stimulating stuff, the economics and psychology of humans, entertaining us all. Going off the hinge, got an interview. And then all of a sudden, now it's real work. You're like, oh my God, it's a full day. What the hell? I didn't ask for this. Remember when you were a security guard and everything was real simple? And I said, yeah, and I was starving and down to 125 pounds and sleep deprived because I only would work the night shift and I didn't have enough vitamin D and it was all depressed. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. You only remember the good times. College. Do you remember the good times? What were the good times in college? I had a fair amount of dates. Okay, I do remember those good times. But the rest of it, for every good time, for every minute of good time, there was like 10 of incredibly bad, painful, shivering cold, hungry, psychological, tormented bullshit. Not to mention just being bored out of your mind with high school version 2.0. Oh, I just want to... You should take a vacation. I was thinking about going to Iceland. Did I tell you guys that? I think I'm going to go to Iceland. I got to look at temperatures. I'm going to set down the booze. Keep saying I'm going to set down the booze. But this time I'm really going to do it. I'm going to set down the booze. Save the money to go to Iceland. 2 years without it. Pay off the house. Take the proceeds and go to Iceland. I think that's what I might do. What is the temperature in Iceland now? I was going to do this anyway. But since you guys are here, you want to look up it together? Yeah, Cappy! Iceland temperatures by month. Go Scandinavia. Scandinavia. The weather in Iceland. It's centigrade. Damn it, I used to be able to. Or is this Fahrenheit? Oh, it is in Fahrenheit. March, 39 for a high, 32 for a low. Boy, it's very moderate. There's not a lot of variation. Like, July gets up to 60, and the low is 50 at night. That's the highest. Warmest ever, 74. That was the hottest it's ever been in Iceland, is 74 degrees. That's it? In July, and the coldest day ever was 1 degrees? Really? Look at this. Oh, the number of hours. June, they have 22 hours of daylight. In January, there's only 4 hours of daylight. Look at that. Oh, man, I don't think I should go now. The way I need sun, I want 10 hours of daylight in March, 15 in April. Oh, maybe that's all right. That can't be it. What's the record temperatures in Iceland? That cannot be it. It can't be that regular. In Iceland. Climate of Iceland. Record high temperature in East Iceland. 60.8 degrees. No kidding. Oh, this doesn't look fun at all. Imagine that, Aaron. There's a lot of ice in Iceland. A new record was set in Iceland when on December 29th, the temperature at Skjaldkjørfjallet at in Vopnafjørður, East Iceland, reached 60.8 degrees. Warmest temperature in Iceland between Christmas and New Year's Day since records began. December was cold. Boy, that's, what's the coldest? So 61 is the hottest it's ever gotten. Coolest temperatures in Iceland. Reykjavik, 39, light rain. In other words, it really doesn't matter if I go now or later. It kind of seems... kind of seems boring. Coldest February in Reykjavik. I can pronounce Reykjavik. Can't pronounce that volcano they got there. Remember the one that went off and diverted the airplanes? Where is it? Average temperature. Formula average 1 point in the last 10 years. Like, you're bitching about global warming. It's a full 2 degrees below average temperatures. The temperature fluctuates. Whatever, it's not that cold and it's not that hot. It's just snowing all the time. Let's take a look at pictures of Iceland. I bet you the pictures of Iceland is all the nice ones in, from all the travel things. Well, there's like a... there's a waterfall there that looks pretty cool. There's a big rock. There's a volcano going off. Oh, check out this. A huge Blue Lagoon, Iceland. Well, that's where everybody pees. Well, there's a really gothic-looking church. That's kind of interesting. Iceland Church, Reykjavik. Man, that looks like... you guys got to see this church. Iceland Church in Reykjavik. This thing looks like something from Game of Thrones. Where Mordor's dude, whoever the bad guy in Mordor was, like, this is where the bad wizard is hanging out. That is a gothic... Batman wouldn't even set foot in that thing. Holy shit. There's some more waterfalls, some sheep, some kids. Yeah, it looks like Minnesota. Kind of all brown grass, nothing's really, there's no real green there. The northern lights, there's some ice, more sheep, a lot of white people, another volcano. Yeah, this is, the reason I was looking at Iceland is because I think I can do the whole island in like a day, or in 3 days. Like, it'd be a 4 day trip, 1 day in, 3 days on, fly the way back. How long does it take to fly to Iceland? Minneapolis to Iceland. Let's take a look at flights. Yeah, 600, 700 bucks round trip. Not too bad. How long does it take? Yeah, $600 to $700. What's just tell me how long it takes. Oh, now I'm gonna have to adjust for time. It's a time difference. Oh, $500 through Delta. That's not bad at all. Are you really looking up flights while you're doing? Yes, I am. How long is it? 6 hours 25 minutes. Okay. So I just gotta sit. I did it once when we came back from Europe. We went to Reykjavik and caught our connecting flight. I don't know if we were flying over Greenland or what, but we're just going over some of the most abandoned country you will ever see. You forget that, like, Canada and Iceland, or Greenland, rather, I mean, there's nothing. It's nothing up there. You go 200 miles north of the border, there's nothing. Just nothing. All right, that's it. We will catch you guys later. Check ass, check testes. Spread the good word about Asshole Consulting and the blog and my website. You can follow me on Twitter. Follow me on the YouTube. Spread the good word about Asshole Consulting. All that other shit. We'll talk to you kids later. Toodles.